Kelly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl.
We were remarking how you, Connie just got the moniker "My Sister" tonight.
I don't make any difference when I become enlightened, I guess.
It's not like you can look back on this moment and go, "That daggone Cheryl."
She forced me into enlightenment.
And then she said something really funny.
Yeah?
She said, she said, "I know, I'm so queer."
Me too, Cheryl.
Oh, shoot. Okay, so here we are. This is the comedy hour of Connie and Jacqueline, but no, seriously. We're here for Growing with NTI. We are going to shift gears a little bit here because Connie, the pretty one, is going to lead us in prayer.
Thank you, God. I'm so grateful that I have this teaching opportunity and that I'm learning as I'm teaching and that my heart is my teacher. Of course, I'm with Jacqueline and that's really sweet. Thank you for this opportunity. Bless everyone that's here with us tonight. And everyone that isn't. Amen.
I know you're not supposed to giggle during prayer.
Well, it occurred to me there's a whole lot more that isn't here, so I better bless them. Have them be blessed too.
Amen. Okay. So, as Cheryl said, due to technical difficulties, we did not record our best teaching ever last week. we only got the second half of the recording, so Cheryl thought it was a good idea, and I agreed that we kind of summarize the teachings from NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and chapter 3. And we also completed chapter 4 last week, and then we're our new material is NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we'll work our way back up to 5. I was looking at the highlights, you know, where I've underlined here in chapter 2 and got a, you know, a week is a long time. But got a sense of what we were talking about. And I remember when we discussed this, talking about Dad and chapter 28 of A Course in Miracles. So I'm just going to read the first part of this chapter 2 that I've got underlined here, and then we'll talk about that for a second. We're on page 310 of Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Do not change your mind out of fear, but out of love, for love is the only power that is real. When you change your mind out of fear, you attempt to change your experience because you believe your experience is Lord. In this case, you wish for a different experience because you believe a different experience is needed to bring you joy. This purpose denies who you are, and so you shall learn that you are who you are not through choosing this experience. To learn who you are, do not seek an experience that will give you what you want. Choose instead to be independent of your experience. So like I say, I remember one of the things that we discussed this last week was, you know, the fact that your experience shows you, just like it said, your experience shows you that you are, shows you what you are not, because that's what this world, this body, this mind, that's what it was designed to show you. It was designed to give you an experience other than what actually is. It's funny, though, when we look at this, when I look at it, it's just like, oh, I didn't see that last time I read it, and I didn't see that last time I read it. So it's so it's a little hard to, you know, just go back and summarize. Connie, would you want to say something?
I'm just looking at that, and I'm doing the same thing. Choose instead to be independent of your experience. It kind of reminds us of what we're doing in our other class,
Apollo's Gentle Healing.
That whole awareness watching awareness, because in when I'm participating in that awareness of watching awareness experience, it's not really like an experience. It's like everything is here in the room, and so is Connie's body. And not because I'm so daggone good at it, but because I kind of use the technique of where I can see my hands, and I can see my body, and I look at them, not directly, but look at them as I'm watching the room and see them as just one more part of the room.
Very cool. Yeah.
And if I can sit with that for a minute. There's a presence about it, but it doesn't really, it doesn't feel like, you know, it's not like an experience where you've gone to the lake that weekend and you all had fun and here's what so-and-so did and that, you know, it's completely, I guess it's an experience, but it's a completely different kind of experience. It's not, it kind of reminds you of what they're saying here, choose instead to be independent of your experience. So it's like I'm independent because it's the awakened part that is viewing the room and everything in it, including my body. So it kind of feels like that, independent of the experience.
Wow, that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I get a sense of that. It's like, viewing it without the same kind of attachment that you normally have to your body. It's not like if that's your point of perception anymore.
Yeah, but ordinarily you're just so caught up in life or whatever, you know. It's all about, you know, am I comfortable with this heat blowing on me, and you know, and what else is going on, and what are they saying on the screen, and should I be paying attention to that? How long has it been since Jacqueline looked over at that? And, you know, on and on and on. And then when you can sit with just viewing your limbs or your body as a part of the room, you don't feel a part of your body. You feel like you're behind all that.
Yeah, that's very cool. Very cool. That also reminds me of Locke Kelly talking about it being just a shift in perception, like using it's kind of like peripheral vision.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very cool. So that's not really summary, y'all, but that's what we wanted to talk about.
Apparently.
Let's see. I'm just going to again read you my underlines from chapter 2. This is verses 12 through 17. Know then who you are. Look on the world with new eyes. You are not the effect of what you see, but you do feel the effect of what you choose. You are the maker of experience. Experience is not the maker of you. It is for this reason that you do have a choice. Will you let experience tell you how you are to feel, or will you let how you feel tell experience what kind of experience it is to be? I don't know. Does that speak for itself?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess reading it out of context, it doesn't seem quite as powerful as it did last week because I have the same stuff underlined.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I don't know what else to say about it, frankly. I mean, you're not the effect of your world, of course. We talked last week, we talked about the rules of decision from A Course in Miracles and how this is the same process that the rules of decisions talks about. You decide what kind of day you're going to have, and
Oh,
that's the kind
yeah.
of day you will have.
Yes, and
You
that was
don't.
very powerful last week, your explanation of that, yeah.
Well.
No, and no, it's still powerful. And I think that's great because and we I think I talked about Dialogue and Awakening, where Dad was talking about in chapter 3 or chapter 4 about choose only peace, and let that be my guiding force, so that no matter what scenario comes up, you said, this ain't me. I've chosen peace. And that's the truth of me.
Yeah. You talked about.
The revolver.
Well, you also talked about you get up and you stump your toe. You were going to have a good day, and then you stump your toe, and you're like, "That's it. It's going to be a lousy day." Yeah. Instead of letting your experience or whatever's going on determine how you feel, it really is the other way around.
And I
You
think that's
choose
what
what
it's
you
really
want.
speaking to, what we first read there. Choose instead to be independent of your experience. So it doesn't matter, and that is, and we've talked about this several times, and that is really the definition of forgiveness, because forgiveness says what your senses are telling you is not the so. So this is saying choose instead to be independent of your experience. So choose instead not to let your experiences direct how you feel about anything. To know that it's not the truth of you, and if you side with stumping your toe, you've chosen erroneously. You've chosen,
The lower vibration.
yes,
Yeah. The
absolutely.
voice of the ego, not the voice of love. Yeah. It says here, always you may choose healing if that is what you choose to feel. Always, because you are Lord, the world and all of its events may come to you to heal you and to soothe you of the pain that comes when you have chosen to forget that you are and truly always will be the Lord of all you choose to experience. So it's just saying that choice, that choice, the choice of love, is always a choice that's available to us. And then again, as we discussed last week, it's like if you get nothing else out of an event, right? I mean, even if you say, "Okay, I'm gonna have a happy day," and then you're grumpy for half the day because you stubbed your toe, when you remember, you can use that opportunity to see it as a, even if it's not what you want to happen, you can use it as an opportunity for healing. You can sit with that.
Right.
The second chance that Eckhart Tolle talked about in the surrender thing from Sunday, right?
Yeah. So every experience is a loving whole experience, or it's an opportunity to know that what you're seeing is not the truth.
Cheryl says, freedom is our birthright as we choose peace and gratitude for it all, right? Yes, right. Let's see. Okay, in chapter 3, I'm going to read, unless you have something before that, I'm going to look at verses 12 through 18. The world was made to tell you that you are what you are not, but this is a lesson you can never fully learn because the truth of what you are is written on your heart. Wow. Seek there, ask your heart what you are, and the answer will be given clearly. Then look at the world, which gives you a different answer, and say to it, "I will believe the answer of the heart. I will let that answer shine unto you."
And it's real, that's a real sweet way of saying it. Ask your heart what you are, and the answer will be given clearly. Then look at the world, which gives you a different answer. And you realize that, or at least I realize that a part of the time, I'm over here with the world,
yeah,
and that's why I'm getting a different answer.
That's right. That's right.
And it's not that I'm looking at the world, I'm looking outside that's something that's apart from me, and it's telling me what I am. No, it's because I've at that given moment have chosen to be a part of the world, and that's why I'm getting that answer.
Yeah, and I keep being reminded of the today's thought of awakening, so I'm just going to read that. I know nothing, and so I cannot lead. I can only follow. The choice I have is clear. I can follow the one that thinks it knows but does not, or I can follow the one that knows and loves all things. This is the choice that is mine. I must choose which voice to follow. The voice I choose is the voice that I will hear. Yeah,
sweet.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that this is just saying that same thing. Yeah, and in fact, when I was journaling today, that was the message that I got too. You think you recognize the voice of the mind because it's one you're used to hearing, but real recognition is resonance in the heart.
Right.
So that's why you have to ask the heart. You know, what's the choice for me now? Or what's the what's to be done now? Is because you feel it resonate there, and then you know it's the truth, right?
Yeah, and that voice of the mind really is the voice of the world, because the voice of the mind is from that learned stuff that, you know.
Stuff you think you know.
Yeah, your beliefs about what goes on in the world that sets the rules and the procedures and the behaviors and the standards and the regulations and
that you trust even though it's wrong, you know, 75-85% of the time.
Yeah.
By listening to the heart and following its truth within the world, you become a symbol that the world is not Lord. Your symbol is a message into the mind that sings, look into the heart. In this way, your message is clear and it is consistent. For when the mind looks to the heart for guidance, it will find only the guidance of the heart. The guidance of the heart is one, because the message of the heart is one. You are love, and anything that is not loved must only be an illusion of what you are. Look not upon illusions, that you are not fooled. Look upon thy heart, and know thyself truly. Sweet, sweet. Okay, and then we did chapter 4, which is on tape. We might say something absolutely completely different, though, looking at it now. Is there anything you want to say about chapter 4, Connie?
Well, that's where I had written down the note that that it was really the rules for decision.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to have a happy day. The belief in the world is a veil of darkness. But the rules for decision says I choose to have a happy day.
Yeah.
You're in that 7-12 down there at the bottom. It says your belief in illusions must die. Your belief in illusions must die. So that your awareness of what is may be resurrected through you.
Yeah, and then I've underlined what follows. Your belief is expressed. Did you have something you want to say?
No.
Your belief is expressed through thought. Above all else, watch your thoughts. What are you allowing your thoughts to think? Are you thinking of the illusion of the world as if it is real? And then a little bit further. Well, if so, you are expressing your desire to accept the veil of darkness. If this is this your true desire? If not, why do you permit yourself to express it through the activity of your thoughts?
Over and over again, it's just saying that you can't believe your thoughts, you can't believe your perceptions, you can't believe your senses. This stuff is not believable. It can only point you. If it's not of your heart, then it needs to point you back towards your heart.
Right. And then finally, from chapter 4, you are what your heart tells you that you are, only you do not see it because you do not focus yourself there, which is, again, brings us back to this thought of awakening. You know, your only choice is, what are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to the voice of love? Are you going to turn into your heart? Are you going to keep going, looking out at the world and going, well, there's your proof right there. All right, that's the summary. So we'll start anew here on NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is on page 313 of Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. This life that you experience within the world is a gift to yourself. It is a gift based upon a wish that you could experience something different. I have told you this before. I have also told you that it is a perfect gift, for you have given yourself exactly as you asked. You have the experience that is different from the experience of heaven.
Didn't say dumbass there.
It's what you wanted, dumbass. Okay, Cheryl wanted to discuss it, and she probably wanted it without the dumbass. She says, ladies, can we discuss this first paragraph in chapter 5, the bottom of the page? Well, the bottom of the page in the first paragraph, but I highlighted and want to hear your take on this. The last sentence in particular, it is because you asked to suffer by asking not to experience heaven. Okay, so yeah. So
let's read on that.
Yeah. If this experience of the world is the experience you asked to receive, why do you suffer from it? It is because you asked to suffer by asking not to experience heaven. I mean, it seems to me this is saying the same thing that, you know, that the previous paragraph said, but I'm willing to give it another look. Well, it seems kind of tautological to me, right? It seems like a logical formula, which is funny because in my journaling today I was talking about formulas. But it's like, you know, it's like, well, wait a minute. It's like explaining it to a child. A child will go, well, wait a minute. If I can get what I wanted, why am I suffering? And the answer is because you asked for suffering. Because the absence of heaven, the absence of the truth of who you are, the absence of the absolute experience of who you are is suffering. So it's little wonder that you suffer.
Yeah, I think the Course in Miracles talks about heaven is a state of mind. It's not a place. So that state of mind is the state of mind it's that divine state of mind.
Heaven.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess that's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's wholeness and there's suffering. And we went, wholeness? I am bored to death with wholeness. I mean, that's how the story goes, something like that. I am sick to death of is and is and is and is and is and. So, wonder what it would be like if everything were different than it was. Well,
different than whole has to be less than whole.
It has to be lack, has to be limitation, has to be suffering. That's the only, I mean, that's the antithesis, right? Of wholeness is something that needs healing. It's lack, limitation, competition. you know, all of those things that separateness entails. Yeah, and Cheryl says, okay, the moment of our decision to separate from God. We are insane. We are definitely insane. And I'll tell you that, you know, as always, I think when we look at these, we have to look at this not only in the historical, this is what consciousness, we as consciousness once upon a time did. And, you know, we said, well, you know, the tiny man idea, the Big Bang, what if everything were different than it is? I think it's all well and good, you know, from a conceptual viewpoint to look at it that way. But the real, where the rubber really hits the road is, this is how we create our own suffering every day. Every moment that we're not in joy, it's because we are asking to experience something other than joy. This backs right up to where we just were, right? What kind of day do you want to have? What kind of experience do you want to have? Do you want to have the experience of separateness, or do you want to have the experience of wholeness, completeness, heaven? What is it that you value? And we make that choice every time we choose to either listen to the voice of love or the voice of the ego or the voice of the world or the voice of the thinking mind, whatever you want to call it, right? Those are the only ever the two choices. So it's not just this historical, you know, oh, we wanted to experience something other than it was. We continue to do that with every thought.
That's why the Course says don't ask why you initially made that choice, but ask what is it you're choosing now?
Yeah,
because what you're choosing now is perpetuating the world of separation.
It sure is perpetuating in this neighborhood. I mean, you know, I mean, in that's what I'm experiencing now, like right here with me and you sitting in this room. I'm either experiencing the wholeness, the completeness of this situation. You know, you might call it the Christ in me is experiencing the Christ in you. I mean, however you want to put it, but I'm either experiencing that or I'm going,
what's wrong with her?
Yeah, why did she say that? She didn't even say anything about my new kitchen cabinets. I mean, does she not care? She knows I've been working really hard on this. Oh, wait. Does that sound like that might be real?
I thought I did say about your kitchen cabinets. Oh, my God.
But you, I mean, really, right? We could be there.
Yeah.
Or when that thought comes in my mind, I could go, don't be ridiculous. She did say, I mean, right? You know, I can, go ahead.
Yeah. You can, and you can hear that if you pay attention, that you can, although it's kind of said in jest, but if you can hear that there's a hollow pain there, and that's what this life is, not knowing a wholeness. It's a hollow pain,
right,
that we just kind of live and put up with and maneuver around and go, I'm really okay, but there's a hollow pain there. And you can also feel the other experience, to know that when you and I in this room are connecting and our hearts open and you can feel the love that's between us, and the, you know, and it's sweet and tender and everything that any experience you would want to be, and you can feel that, there's no hollowness in that.
Yeah.
That's complete.
Yeah.
And that's the only, you know, that's the two columns on the page. That's the only thing that there is going on here.
These two choices that are being talked about right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's always, always a choice between the two. So the few chapters that we've read here, 1 through 4, it's, you know, the rules for decision. Choose to have that happy day. Choose to, no matter what, to be in the heart. No matter what seems to appear, the real forgiveness experience is to know that that's not the truth of you, and that experience of heaven is the truth of you, and that by choosing that experience of heaven, that's what you're aligning with.
Right. You're aligned, and we talked about that, and Regina's been talking about that, of course, in general healing in terms of the code. What vibration? There's a, for every thought, for every seeming experience, there's a low vibration and a higher vibration, and of course, that was the lesson today. You can either align yourself with higher vibration by choosing the higher thoughts, by choosing to go within, by choosing to ask for guidance, or you can choose the lower vibration by...
get out of my way, SOB.
Well, and today it was Judas feeling guilty, right?
Yeah.
Realizing he made a mistake and feeling guilty. Just went out of my head what the other one was. I don't even remember what it was. But at any rate, funny. I was going to say it, and then it was like, gone. but those are always the choices. You call them higher and lower vibrations. And you know, I think that that's a really good way to describe these things. You can feel that. And we talked about the resonance in the heart. I mean, you need to choose the higher vibration. Otherwise, back to the point, otherwise, you will experience suffering.
Yes. You ain't me.
That's what happens at the lower vibration.
Suffering is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when it says, it's because you ask to suffer by asking not to experience heaven. You've chose suffering over the experience of heaven. And it may be subtle, but that hollow ache is there when you've chosen that. As compared to the fullness of the heart.
And those two choices are always available. Always.
And that's the only two choices there really are.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
That's it. Okay. All right. Thanks, Ann. Ann was reminding me it was Peter. Yeah. I could get that out, but I think that point's been made, so I'm going to read from the bottom of the page here, page 313. Well, actually, I'm going to back up and read that paragraph we just read as a prelude. If this experience of the world is the experience you have asked to receive, why do you suffer from it? It is because you ask to suffer by asking not to experience heaven. Listen to me carefully now, for I will tell you why you think the way you do and why you experience that which you experience. In seeing the desire that has been hidden, you can decide to change the desire. Within the mind now, you will find the desire for the world. You will know this is your desire if you watch your thoughts. For your thoughts are about the world, and your thoughts stem from your desire. I have told you that your mind is split. The desire for the world is split with the true desire of the heart. Both are there, and so both are in your thoughts. Your thoughts form your experience. This is a literal statement, and it is to be taken literally. There is nothing symbolic in what I am saying to you now. Cheryl says that's the answer to the question. Your thoughts form your experience. If you look in your mind, you will find that your mind is split and that your thoughts are split into two categories. You have thoughts of the world and you have thoughts that are not of the world.
You got thoughts on one side of the column and one on the other side.
Right.
That's what we were just saying.
The thoughts that are not of the world are thoughts of letting go of the world. This is your true desire. Yeah, and it's really interesting. You know, it's talking about, you know, the undoing, the unwinding, the letting go of belief. So they're thoughts of healing, right? I just want to read it again. The thoughts that are not of the world are thoughts of letting go of the world. They're the bridge thoughts, right? Those are the thoughts to choose within your mind. And I'm trying to make a distinction here, and I haven't said it yet, so let me just try. Because it's like, it's not in, well, like my Pell Talk name, right? More Thoughtless Now, right? It's not like a, a cessation of all thought. You don't jump from, I believe in the world, I believe I'm a body, I believe I'm a wife, or blah, 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 to no thoughts, right? Those don't seem to be the choices. And the reason is because it's the undoing of the belief that you hold in a separate self, in the world, and all of that. So the two thoughts that you find in your mind are thoughts that reinforce the world, damn right we're separate, right? And you better get out of my way. Or, oh, that hurt my feelings. I can see that this is an opportunity for healing.
Right.
Right? So, so from that perspective, those are bridge thoughts to the wholeness of who you are. Those are the healing thoughts, the unwinding thoughts. The thoughts that are not of the world are thoughts of letting go of the world. This is your true desire. But when you look in your mind, where are your thoughts as you suffer, as you are afraid, or as you are feeling angry? Are they with God, or are they with the world? When your thoughts are with the world, you request an experience other than God. And this is what we just said. It wasn't way, way back whenever my ancestors, you know, decided that they wanted to see what it was, you know, the tiny man idea, that the core. I mean, we just tend to think about that historically as opposed to present moment. What am I choosing now? And that's exactly what this is talking about. When your thoughts are with the world, you request an experience other than God. Because just as we've said, this world was made as an experience other than God. So you're digging into it, believing it, you know, hook, line, and sinker, or you're unwinding from it with the thoughts that we were just talking about. So if you're continuing to go to take the world as proof of who you are, as proof of what's true, if you're believing the world, these are not thoughts of God. These are thoughts that continue to reinforce the world, like you said a moment ago. When your thoughts are with the world, you request an experience other than God. This, then, is the experience you are given. When you let go of the world, you experience truth. You know, A Course in Miracles talks about this, about like clearing the altar. NTI talks about it being the empty shell. You know, you gotta make room, buddy. You know, if you're all full of this belief, and, you know, what your senses show you, what you seem to know based on your past experience, there's no room for the truth. So when you let go of the world, you experience truth. Oh, this is what it means to become the empty shell. it is to let go of the world, thoughts of the world, and the desire for the world. This is to let go of the desire for an experience that is different from heaven. And this is to open up to accept the experience of heaven and the truth of heaven as it is, without the desire that it be different. And of course, if you were here on Sunday, you know that that's really what that talk was about, right? It was about surrendering to the gifts of this moment as they're given, without needing it to conform to whatever agenda that I have.
And that seems like that ought to be. It seems like that ought to be real easy. It's kind of like you're talking about being awake. You can only be awake in this given moment.
Right.
And you can only surrender to this given moment, which is really cool things, because I'm thinking, you know, if I got to surrender, And I go in the future and go, do I have to surrender that? And no, you don't have to surrender all that. You only got to
This
surrender
moment.
to this given moment.
Right.
Because this given moment is where life is. This given moment without the surrender is where the suffering is.
Right. And that's, you got it exactly right. That's the problem, is we want to create this vision of a future me who's going to suffer based on some decision that I make in this moment. And it's all made up.
Yeah.
It's absolutely made
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Yes. So the whole thing is facade at that point.
Yeah. So you miss this moment because you're focused on some future moment that never comes.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was watching some TV last night, but they're talking about that's what's going on with the opioid epidemics. It's, there's nobody there. Everybody's, you're taking care of that addiction. Nobody's ever home, ever. There's no life there.
Yeah.
And we all do it with our addictions. There's no presence there. It's because you're not in the present moment. So there's no life. Which, like I say, which really ought to be a big, for me, it's a big relief that I don't have to make any sworn in the basement commitments or allegiances or any of that stuff to, do the chicken dance or anything. All I have to do. Is this very moment to be present to the moment.
Right. That's all you're asked to do, surrender to this moment. Surrender
yes.
now to this moment. Yeah.
Kitty Kay?
Yeah. It's not like you're funny. Dancing around a fire in the basement, cutting your wrist, right?
Right.
Make a blood promise, right? Right. Got you. Yeah. A vow, Kathy says.
Kathy. I didn't know Kathy was here.
Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
Okay. So, that takes us to NTI, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Bottom of 3:14. Now is the day of salvation. For now is the day that you can choose to think apart from the world.
That's right. Now's the day you can be present.
Right. Yeah. You can choose to think apart from your experience. As you do this earnestly, your experience will change, and you will find yourself willing to let go of the world.
So we're all the way back there about the rules for decision.
Yeah, or today's reading, right? Or choosing the higher vibration.
Exactly.
Yeah. To think apart from your experience and to think apart from the world is a request that is to be taken literally in all circumstances, without exception. This will seem to take practice, but as you practice, the increase in willingness will make the practice easier. Here's how you are to practice. As you suffer, choose not to suffer. Let the experience of the body continue without the desire for the experience to be different. Rejoice that the experience is not your reality. I'm thinking, wow, this would have made a great reading for Sunday. But that's it, right? It's not needing to change anything in the now. It's just what we were just saying. It's just to accept the moment on its own terms. Because if you're not doing that, you're trying to make it to conform to some idea. I mean, you build the whole
to your
thing.
Addiction, to your addiction, whether it's opioids or
or belief in the world.
Right.
But you build the whole thing. You build it. You build yourself. You know, you make an ego for yourself. You make one for all your brothers. You make all the rules of the world. You make all of that in this moment.
And you're not here at all.
No. No. And the other choice is to go, oh, huh. Right? Is to just participate and see what that moment brings. And if it brings something that, you know, it's like Eckhart Tolle talked about it in The Power of Now. If it brings something that you don't like, well, then you can ask yourself, huh, is there something that I could do to change this? And if not, that's okay. Then you just sit with your, you know, with it not meeting your preferences. I mean, it's like, you know, otherwise it's that white knuckling thing that I've talked about, you know, where you're just like, you against the world. And it's like, it doesn't have to be that way. The only reason that you're trying to force this square peg into this round hole is because you think all you got's a square peg. That's not who you are. You know, it doesn't take forcing. Michael Singer talked about it in that reading from Sunday, he said, you know, you do have the force of will. You can use all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your desire to get things your way and battle with the way things are. Battle with life, and it will consume your life. Just like you said, just like these folks who are looking for their next fix because they're driven by that fear of doing without the next fix, right? So they're never in their lives. And it's not, and like you said, it's not just them. It's all of us. We're addicted to this sense of self that drives our life, that seems to require that we take these steps in order to maintain it. And it's not true.
Or to get our next fix.
And it, yes.
Instead of being here at this yes. moment and enjoying this experience. This immediate, present moment.
Or seeing how it, at least being willing to see how it unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To bear with it until something better comes along, even now. But, no, you know, the bear with it, that's, again, that seems to go back to the white knuckling. But, you know, I guess I'm hearing the argument, well, what if I don't like the present moment? Well, and it's like I told a friend the other day, this too shall pass, right? I mean, that's that, it's actually that projection into the future. That is the ego's answer to surrender. It's like, wait, I got to surrender, you know, surrender now and for always. Well, what if something comes up I don't like?
Yeah, that's why I was saying it's so easy to surrender if you just have to surrender in the present moment.
Right.
You've got to surrender to the future. Oh, well, you know, that's too difficult. My ego is going to jump up and down and scream and yell and go, no way.
Right.
But I don't have to do that.
All right. Let's see. As you suffer, choose not to suffer. Let the experience of the body continue without the desire for the experience to be different. Rejoice that the experience is not your reality. This is not my reality. Right?
Yeah. I think Jesus probably... It had to be in the present moment of the cross. And, of course, you know, that may have been a little bit of that ego stuff coming on, too. You know, he was in the present moment. And there seemed to be that suffering. But thank God, rejoice, that wasn't his reality, and he knew it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what we're talking about in Mark. The reading for general healing right now is that was the seeming struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's like, whoa, wait a minute, you want me to do what?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then as he turned within and experienced his reality, remembered, oh, it's just my body. It's like, you know, oh, that's just my my shirt that got ruined, right? I mean, it's like, that's not who I am.
Yeah. It's another thing in the room.
Another thing in the room, which is where we started this. You're right. You're right. When you are afraid, choose not to be afraid by remembering that what you fear is not real. It is of the world, or it is born of thoughts of the world. It is an experience, but it is not real. It is not real, and so it is not your truth. When you are joyous because the world seems to be going your way, and today seems to be your day, remember, that is not your joy.
Yeah, it's got to go both ways.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just want all the good stuff, none of the bad. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I love it when Byron Katie says, none of it's true, but we're only going to tackle the part that seems to be causing us suffering.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, you're starting with the masses. You got to start somewhere, right?
Right. Your joy is your truth, which is beyond the world.
Again, over and over, I'm just seeing... I'm sorry, I interrupted you, maybe.
Maybe.
Sorry.
That's right.
There's the definition of forgiveness again. Your joy is your truth, and it's beyond the world. So if you try and say, forgiveness is seeing beyond what seems to be causing pain and suffering, because that's not the truth of you. That's only a facade.
Yeah.
It's only the illusion.
It's the duality. It's the duality. And what I was getting ready to say, you tried to save me from myself because I won't be able to say it, is that it's that Rumi poem that says, beyond the, any Rumi folks in here? It says something about beyond the illusion of good and bad, there is a field, I'll meet you there, or something like that. It's a very short, sweet poem, but that's that idea of you can't have the good without the bad.
Two sides to a coin.
If you believe in duality, you might be happy today, but buddy, there's going to be a corresponding low. You know, it's like the Tao. There's going to be a corresponding swing of the pendulum at some point. So your joy is not in, woohoo, boy, did I ace that. You know, it's like in a peaceful warrior. Woo, did I show them who's boss, right? No. You know, that's not your true joy. Your joy is your truth, which is beyond the world. Be happy and be joyous, but let your joy come to you apart from your experience. Let your joy come to you from the truth in your heart. Relax in your joy and be your joy beyond your experience of the world. I say to you, do not look at the world and ask how you should think or how you should feel. This is to believe the world is your Lord. It is to believe that, to believe that is to believe it is real. Accept that it is not real by surrendering to your desire for truth. Accept the truth and deny the world. Let your joy come from you and accept not that the world can change it. This is like we talked about on Sunday where, I used to think that joy was getting my way, basically. I mean, it's a childish way of looking at life in the universe. It's like, okay, God, come on, come on, come on, come on, let this happen. Okay. Okay, thank God, you made it. We actually got it. You went in the right direction, the one I wanted you to go in. That's not it. Yeah. But that's the way, as I said on Sunday, the way I thought about it for 56 and a half years, frankly, that there was some, whether or not there was a benevolent entity, that things working out for me meant that the universe conformed to my agenda.
Yeah. Yeah, when I heard you talking about that on Sunday, it reminded me of, the two extremes again. You have the fundamentalist who's saying, I'm on God's side, so God's gonna do my will. You know, my grandfather said God won't let me die of prostate cancer, but he did. And you have all these people playing that, having ball games and going, you know, this is, or wars. We're on the winning side because we're on God's side. You know, that's just fundamental misperception. But then you also have you have the other side of the coin, which seems to be, I don't know, I've kind of lost the train of thought there, that there's just the science and the rules and the regulations. And the mathematics and that's the totality of it as well.
Yeah, well,
but you lose the in both of those you're losing the given moment.
Yeah, yeah, I just want to read the paragraph again. I say to you, do not look at the world and ask how you should think or how you should feel. I mean, that's basically, you know, going, oh my goodness, he did that. Jesus, what do I do now? Right? How's this going to fit in with our plan?
Yeah, it's starting from the wrong premise.
Right, right, right. Except that it is not real by surrendering to your desire for truth. Just show me the truth. Just let me open my eyes to the gifts of this moment so that I can see the truth, not so that I can somehow try and make the truth conform to my vision of who I am and what the world is.
Or just let me see the peace, or just let me see the love.
No. Accept the truth and deny the world. Let your joy come from you and accept not that the world can change it. We're out of time. So,
where do we get to? Oh.
We got to NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We finished with verses 11 through 13. We'll pick up there next week. Cheryl, you know where we started. We started with our summary. We really appreciate you guys being here with us. We really appreciate the opportunity to share with you. Sweet. Thank you, Debbie. We love you guys. And Debbie said, great discussion. We love you guys. We're honored to be on this journey with you. And we'll see you next week.
Good night.
Bye.